about the law.
Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual.
Right. So.
All right, joining me today is gubernatorial Republican candidate Ryan Kelly. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today. I really appreciate it. I know you've got a lot going on, especially since last week and some of the happenings there. For those fans that follow our podcast, you know, we are big supporters of Ryan. He's been great supporters of the restaurant, the Iron Pig, and everything that we've been doing, fighting the mandates for the last couple of years. We do have a lot of things in common. unfortunately, one was taken a little bit to the next step. I was threatened with jail time back in January, February of 2021. That was via a judge out of Lansing. Your situation's a little bit different. You've got a federal agency that came in, and not only did they threaten you, but obviously they arrested you and came in and executed a search warrant on your home. Is that right?
That's correct, Ian. And, you know, this is not something that's necessarily surprising. We see that they're trying to silence people like you, people like me. This was an intimidation to myself, you know, to my family, and to my supporters. And you know what? We're not going to be intimidated by this, Ian, because we know that standing up and fighting for freedom is so important. And you understand. I mean, they're coming after you. They're coming after me. They had the plot to kidnap the governor. This is more DC trying to meddle in our Michigan elections.
Yeah, it's the really interesting thing to me is that you know, we have never talked about it, but especially as the front runner, you had to have known that there was, you know, people were going to come after you. You know, opposition research is done in these things. Did you ever expect, I mean, you've had some prior interaction with the FBI before, is that right?
It was in July of 2020 when I met with them to have them hold Whitmer accountable for all the things that she had done, including the nursing home deaths that had happened, and try to get that investigated. So there was some communication there, but nothing.
That was initiated by you, though. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. I approached them and the Department of Justice to speak with them about those issues. But, you know, obviously this is a totally different scenario all the way around. And, you know, yeah, they came to my house where my wife and my children were at. And now we have these, you know, four misdemeanor charges. You know, just to be very clear here, you know, I never entered the building on that day.
Yeah, you made that clear from the get-go. Yeah, yeah.
And I did. You know, I've never.
Are they trying to find more evidence of you, you know, lying about that? Do you think that is what that? And again, I don't want to. I know this is kind of an ongoing thing, so I know you can't, you know, say certain things about it. But, you know, as soon as I heard about this, I'm like, what? 9:30 in the morning, you know, they're going into your home in front of your children and your wife. And, you know, I immediately am thinking, boy, they've got to be looking for something to try and pin you inside the building, because that's really the charge that they want, wouldn't you think, is that actually entering the building then elevates these charges from misdemeanor to something else. Is that my understanding anyways?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where all of that leads to. And yeah, with ongoing litigation here, we can't discuss too many of those details or where this is going to go. But we see that it's a witch hunt that's continued over the last year and a half. Meanwhile, we have right here in Michigan, record high gas prices. We have all across the nation, you know, food shortages. The prices of food has skyrocketed. We have rolling blackouts coming to Michigan. We have baby formula shortages, all the things that actually matter to Americans like you and I. And yet the DOJ, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. think that January 6th is top of mind for people across America. And it's just not, Ian. It's just not the deciding factor of, you know, how somebody's going to vote. And most of the time we see that they're voting for just a reasonable guy, somebody like myself, that's going to bring common sense solutions to our state.
Yeah. And to your point, here in our little community, you know, I live in Gaylord in Northern Michigan, a small city, and we're day to day not necessarily concerned about those events. Not that it's not on a lot of people's minds, but for me as a small business owner, I've got three small businesses, and I got to tell you, all of them depend on gas prices and my main business, food costs and labor costs. But you know, I was just having a conversation with our catering manager about Cornish hens for a Christmas party that we're trying to price out right now. So it's already tremendously expensive. How am I supposed to forecast what December is going to look like? You know, I mean, those are the things that we as small business owners are really concerned about. So you're spot on when you say that. Let me ask you this. Have you had a chance to take a breath since they were there? I mean, I know we've had a weekend and stuff, but you've been doing press nonstop. Again, thanks for taking the time to Zoom in with me this morning. You could have easily said, oh, next week sometime, but I appreciate you taking the time. Have you had a chance to take a breath for a minute?
There hasn't been much time. No, we were right back onto the campaign trail right from the very start there. It was a very busy weekend, traveling all over the state. Was up in Mayo, was up in East Tiwas. We were in Oscoda. We were up on Mackinac Island, St. Ignace. We were all over the state, and now we're back at it again this week. So wasn't time for any breaths. You know, we've got so much support that's come from this. It's incredible just seeing the number of people that have reached out, and really, Ian, like the number of people that said, well, I was on the fence of who I'm going to vote for. Now I know exactly who I'm going to vote for. So it's been a huge blessing to see how many people are just so supportive. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, these polls are showing that I'm the front runner for the Michigan governor race. Recently, you know, after this arrest, there was a poll done out of Muskegon County, and it showed that this was a statewide. They blasted it out on the internet and got a really good sampling. I took 85%, almost 86% of the vote.
I saw that.
And, you know, so, you know, we're full speed ahead, Ian. We're going to keep going, sharing the same message that we've been sharing this whole time, fighting the same fight that we've been fighting this whole time. You know, my 100-day plan is circulating all over the state. You know, people can visit my website if they want to, and they can see the 100-day plan that's on there. We do have a legal defense fund on there. If somebody has a couple of dollars, they're willing to have, you know, this fight too, Ian, they're not just coming for me. They're coming for you. They're coming for all of us. And anybody that really loves this country, anybody that really loves America, they're coming for us. And so, you know, it's a full speed ahead, planning to win the primary and then unseat Whitmer, making her a one-term governor, and winning the general election here. And, you know, Governor Kelly come January this year, next year, I guess it'd be.
I'll tell you what, the one thing that I have heard most of up here when we have conversations about Ryan Kelly for governor is, boy, he sure is spending a lot of time in Northern Michigan. And while a lot of us understand that a fair majority of the electorate is in the metropolitan areas, it does benefit candidates to come up here and spend some time up in these smaller communities, because it does make a difference. And these are really the things that matter to us on day-to-day basis, like you were talking about. What I will say is, from my point of view, and our podcast revolves around a lot of the hearings and stuff that happened with some of these mandates, that the mask mandates in the schools and the health departments, our case against the liquor commission, the health department, all of these things. One thing that I am concerned about, and my co-host Chris is always concerned about, is accountability moving forward. And we're hoping that the next governor is going to be a little bit more accountable and hold some of these state agencies that are kind of creating their own laws. Let's be honest. That's what we were in court for, was the health department was basically creating its own law. We're looking for a candidate that is going to hold those state agencies a little bit more accountable. And I don't know how, but the judiciary. We've found, even in administrative law, the judiciary is very skewed and beholden to whomever is appointing them. I don't know if that happens the same way under a Republican administration or not. I don't know. What I do know is that the system, as we have been working our way through in these COVID cases, is very, very skewed. And we are finding there are very few judges that want to take these issues on without an emotional sort of thing to it. So that's going to be my request and Chris's request for anybody that gets in that position moving forward, and the Attorney General. I've got a whole filing cabinet in my office of papers that have Dana Nessel's name on it. So it's not just that office we want to see flip. We want to see Dana get out of there too. And I know you do too, but I'll wrap it up really quick, buddy. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Where is the next place that people can come meet Ryan Kelly for governor?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, like you said, Ian, spending a lot of time in Northern Michigan, we're activating voters, America First voters, American freedom loving voters all over the state of Michigan. Our supporters are becoming extremely active and engaged in this process, which is exciting. And so we're going to be continuing to travel all across the state. You can go on my website, ryandkelly.com, ryandkelly.com. We have an events page there. Encourage people to follow me on Facebook, follow me on TikTok, follow me on Telegram. I'm on Truth Social. They'll be able to get more updates, figure out where I'm going to be at. We're going to be all over the state in these next few months here. So come out and visit me in person. Tell everybody you know, vote Ryan Kelly on August 2nd, and then again on November 8th, so we can make Whitmer a one-term governor.
That's right. Exactly. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time. And listen, one last quick thing. I know that you are holding on to a flag that was given to you at Fuel Fest, which was our tornado relief fundraiser we had a few weeks ago. Michelle Hoitanga donated that for auction. It was purchased at auction and then donated to you. And I know we kind of have a plan that when you win the governorship, that we're going to take and fly that flag over the state capitol. And I got to tell you, buddy, I'm patiently waiting for that day to happen, dude. Whatever we can do to help you out. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate your support. And by the way, we did raise over $5,000 at that tornado relief fund. So thank you for being a part of that. And we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks, Ian.